Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please call, dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. and join our lessons and give your thoughts or comments on what the writer is saying. Amen? And you can also call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I would like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our service or our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
Amen. Praise be to God. Lord, you have a plan for my life. Let me discover it and live it. Today, I will seek your will, knowing that when I trust in you, dear Father, I am eternally blessed. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible. So if you would like to join us, please dial in 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting.
Travel near or far,
travel near or far,
for you. lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. Every voice in this room, we have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him. Open up your mouth and begin to cry out for him.
Remain.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Thank Me. Praise God. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Zechariah chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. Amen. Praise God. My second scripture reading is coming from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. And it says, This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust, it's your strength, but you would have none of it. Amen? Praise God. My third scripture reading is coming from 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 from the AMP. And it says, But he said to me, My grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. Sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and complete, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title is Thank Me for the conditions that are requiring you to be still. Do not spoil these quiet hours by wishing them away, waiting impatiently to be active again. Some of the greatest works in my kingdom have been done from sick beds and prison cells. Instead of resenting the limitations of a weakened body for my way in the midst of these very circumstances. Limitations can be liberating when your strongest desire is living close to me. Quietness and trust enhance your awareness of my presence with you. Do not despise these simple ways of serving me. Although you feel cut off from the activity of the world, your quiet trust makes a powerful statement in spiritual realms. My strength and power shows themselves most effective in weakness. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for the joyful, abundant life that is ours through Christ Jesus. Guide us according to your will and help us become a woman or man whose life is a worthy example to others. Give us courage, Lord, to claim the spiritual riches you have promised, and show us your plan for our life today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. At this time, I will play another selection.
Hear the worshipers! praise is to our God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship is one accord. Come on, say every praise. Every praise is to our God.
Every praise is to our God.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Which is entitled Wise Advice. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. And it says, my son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instructions. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp, and their instructions a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. So, David is saying, it is natural and good for children as they grow toward adulthood to become increasingly independent of their parents. Young adults, however, care not to turn a deaf ear to their parents, to reject their advice just when it is needed most. If you are struggling with a decision or looking for insight, check with your parents or older adults who know you well. Their years of experience may have given them the wisdom you seek. Amen. Again, the text for this message is coming from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, where it says, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Praise God. The writer says, when the roof of Paris Notre Dame Cathedral caught fire in April of 2019, its ancient wood beams and lead sheeting created a furnace so hot it could not be contained. After the cathedral's spire dramatically fell, attention turned to its bell towers. If the giant steel bells' wooden frame also burned, their collapse would bring both towers down, leaving the cathedral in ruins. Pulling his firefighters back for safety, General Gallet, commander of the Paris Fire Department, pondered what to do next. A firefighter named Remy nervously approached. "Respectfully, General," he said, "I propose that we run hoses up the exterior of the towers, given the building's fragility, the commander dismissed the idea, but Remy spoke on. Soon General Gallet faced a decision: follow the junior firefighters' advice or leave the cathedral to fall. Scripture has much to say about taking advice. While this is sometimes in the context of youth respecting elders in Proverbs 6:20-23, most is not. Proverbs says, the wise listen to advice in Proverbs 12:15. Wars are won with it, 24:6. And only a fool fails to heed it. 12:15. Wise people listen to good advice, whatever the age or rank of those giving it. General Gallet listened to Remy. The burning bell frames were hosed down just in time, and the cathedral was saved. What problem do you need godly advice on today? Sometimes God guides the humble through a junior's lips. Amen? Question: in what situation do you find it difficult to listen to advice? And how can you best judge good advice from bad? Think about those two questions. Amen? Let us pray. Father, by the work of the Holy Spirit, please give us the humility to receive good advice from others. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. To God be the glory. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please call in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection. Amen.
Everybody needs someone beside them, shining like a lighthouse from the sea.
Awesome.
Awesome.
My God.
Awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say.
salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
God, my God is awesome. Now, that concludes our sweet hour of prayer, and it is now time for our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. Our very own lady, which is going to come to conduct our lesson this evening, and we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Thank you.
God, amen. How are you this evening?
Oh, I am doing great. How is everybody else on the line?
Blessed, thank you.
Hello? Oh, great.
Yes.
Great. Oh, I hope you can hear me because this doesn't sound too good.
No, it doesn't. Your voice is in and out.
Yeah, it's cracking up, I can tell. Let me call back on my landline. Maybe that'll be better. Okay.
Okay.
I'll call back on the landline.
Amen. Amen. Sister Barbara, can you hear me?
Good evening. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I had to, I don't know what they did, but I got disconnected with the voice control, so I had to call back in on my phone. And
okay.
I'm sorry.
Got on myself.
Okay, no, I know. I'm waiting for Lady Nadine to get back on because her phone was acting up. And so whatever she did, she cut the program, the sound completely off the program.
Okay.
So that's why I had to dial back in with my phone. But I hope guys could hear me clearly.
I can hear you.
Okay, great. So we're just waiting for her. I'm going to play a short selection while we're waiting.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, there.
Hello?
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm here.
Good evening.
Good evening. All right, so let's pray in. Dear God, our Father, we love you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. We magnify your name, Lord God. Lord God, we invite you into this class, lesson, Lord God. We pray that everything that is done and said is to be to glorify you. Lord God, I pray that those who have an ear to hear will not only hear the word, Lord God, but be doers of the word, Lord God. So we thank you for this opportunity to delve into your word, Lord God, and get a clearer understanding, Lord God, of what it is that you want us to take away, Lord God, what it is that you want us to utilize in our lives, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we are in Malachi, and I think we were up to the dates and settings of Malachi.
Yes.
And so we're going to continue in that area with the dates and settings. So it goes, so although an exact date cannot be established for Malachi, internal evidence can be used to deduce an approximate date. The Persian term for governor, which is Petra, indicates that this book was written during the Persian domination of Israel, which were from 539 to 333 B.C. Sacrifices were being offered in the temples, and we saw that in Malachi 1, verses 7 through 10, which says, you are presenting defiled food on my altar. Remember we read that, but you asked, how have we defiled you? By saying that the table of Yahweh is despised. When you offer a blind animal for sacrifice, is that not wrong? And when you offer a lame, when you offer the lame and the one who is ill, is that not wrong? Present it, please, to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Will he show you favor, says Yahweh of hosts? So then implore the favor of God so that he will be gracious to us. That is what you have done. Will he show favor to any of you? Says Yahweh's host, who also among you will shut the temple doors so that you will not kindle fire in vain on my altar. I take no pleasure in you, says the Lord. And so we saw how they were offering up, you know, just anything to God, like the
yes.
worst. They were, instead of giving God the best, they gave God their worst, something that they
yes.
wouldn't even eat themselves. They gave it to God. So this was the type of sacrifices were being offered in the temple, which was rebuilt in 1516 B.C. Evidently, many years had passed since the offerings were instituted because the priests had grown tired of them and corruption had crept into the system. So the priests grew tired of them, so there was no sacrifices being done because of this practice that they were doing.
Right.
In addition, Malachi's oracle was inspired by the same problems that Nehemiah faced with corrupt priests. And I think we read, did you read? Yeah, you did read that. That was
yeah, we did.
1 through to 29. We did read that. And the neglect of the tithes and offerings, which we saw in Malachi 3, 7 through 12, and also Nehemiah spoke about the same thing. Nehemiah also, oh my God, I'm sorry. Okay. Let me go back. Oh, and Nehemiah also talks about it in his chapter 13, 10 through 13, where Nehemiah says, "And then I came to learn that the food of the Levites had not been given to them, so that the Levites and the singers and the doers of the work had gone back to each of his fields. So I quarreled with the prefects and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them and set them in their stations. So all of Judah brought the tithe of grain, new wine, and olive oil into the storehouses. I appointed as treasurer over the storehouse Shelemiah, the priest, Zadok, the scribe, and Pedadiah from the Levites. And as this hand, Hannah, son of Zachar, and son of Mattaniah, but they were considered faithful. The responsibility given to them was described to their brothers. So here you have the Levites. One of the reasons why what Nehemiah is saying is that the Levites and all the workers, because, you know, the Levites were in charge of the church in general. They didn't have land. They weren't given land. So they depended on the sacrifices which the Jewish people would bring to the altar. So they would eat that. That's what they lived off of. So if they bring in disgusting sacrifices, meat and stuff there, there's nothing for them to eat. So what Nehemiah is saying in verse 10, he says, and then I came to learn that the food of the Levites had not been given to them, so they had to go back into the fields. They had to go back into the fields if they wanted to eat, because what God had put in place for the Levites to just focus on the running of the temple, they couldn't do it hungry. So the neglect of the tithes and the offerings also had an impact on the Levites and the and the upkeep of the temple. Because, you know, some Levites were priests, some Levites were ushers, you might as well say. You know, the Levites took care of the doings of the temple. And so
yes.
the temple can't function because the Levites weren't able to eat. In addition to that, and it says, and intermarriages with pagan wives. Hilda, if you can get to 10 through 16. And Sister Barbara, if you can get Nehemiah 13, 23 through 28.
Ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, this is dealing with the sinful people.
Mm-hmm.
Are we not all children of the same Father? Are we not all created by the same God? Then why do we betray each other, violating the covenant of our ancestors? Judah has been unfaithful, and a detestable thing has been done in Israel and in Jerusalem. The men of Judah had defiled the Lord's beloved sanctuary by marrying women who worship idols. May the Lord cut off from the nation of Israel every last man who has done this and yet brings offering to the Lord of the heavens army. Up to what reading?
Up to 16.
So here is another thing you do. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, weep and groaning, because he pays no attention to your offerings and doesn't accept them with pleasure. You cry out, why doesn't the Lord accept my worship? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young, but you have been unfaithful to her. Though she remained your faithful partner, the wife of your marriage vows, did not the Lord make you one with your wife in body and spirit? You are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. Amen.
Amen. And then Nehemiah.
Nehemiah 13:23-28.
Yes.
Also in those days, I saw Jews who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half the children couldn't even speak the language of Judah. All they knew was the language of Ashdod or some other tongue. So I took those men to task, gave them a piece of my mind, even slapped some of them and jerked them by the head. I made them swear to God, don't marry your daughters to their sons, and don't let your daughters marry your sons. And don't you yourselves marry them. Didn't Solomon, the king of Israel, sin because of women just like these? Even though there was no king quite like him, and God loved him and made him king over all Israel, foreign women were his downfall. Do you call this Do you call this obedience? Engaging in this extensive evil, showing yourself faithless to God by marrying foreign wives. One of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was a son-in-law of Sanballat and the Horonite. I drove him out of my presence. Amen.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes. So Nehemiah came to Jerusalem in 444 BC to rebuild the city walls. 13 years after Israel returned and reforms, so it's 13 years after Israel returns and reforms. So Israel came on in 457 B.C. So Nehemiah returned to Persia in 432 B.C., but came back to Palestine about 425 B.C. and dealt with the sins described in Malachi. It is therefore likely that Malachi proclaims his message while Nehemiah was absent between 432 and 425, almost a century after Haggai and Zechariah began to prophesy, and theirs was in 520 B.C. So the theme and the purpose, the divine dialogue of Malachi's prophecy was designed as an appeal that would break through the barriers of Israel's disbelief, disappointment, and discouragements. The promised time of prosperity had not yet come, and the prevailing attitude that it was not worth serving Yahweh became evident in their moral and religious corruption. But God reveals his continuing love in spirit of Israel's lethargy. He appeals in this oracle was, his appeal in this oracle was that the people and priests would stop to realize that their lack of blessings was not caused by his lack of concern, but by their own compromise and disobedience to the covenant law.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? Like God's lack of blessings was not caused by his lack of concern, but by his own by their own compromise and disbelief of the covenant law.
Right, they weren't getting blessed because they were disobedient, and they kept doing the same thing. Well, I don't know about the same thing, but they kept sinning. They were wicked. They were, you know, disobedient to God, and they knew what he wanted, but they did not obey.
Right. This made me think of a time. I mean, you know, I think a lot of times we do the same thing. Like,
yes, we
want God to bless us, but there's something that we're lacking that we're doing, you know, that's preventing it. And then we turn around and think that God doesn't care and don't realize, you know, what we do. Because I have an example of it for myself, is that when I had, finished school, you know, because I always wanted to teach college, teach on the nursing, you know, so I finished, I got my, you know, I went and got the master's degree in nursing education, and I was ready to teach. But at the same time, I had went to teacher training at church. You know, I took the teacher. I don't know why. I said to myself, I'm going to take this teacher training class, but I really don't want to teach. I'm not going to teach, but I'm going to take the class. But I took the class, right? And the first day that, so when I finish it, they place you in a class where you mentor with the other teachers what you're supposed to teach. And I had said to one of the teachers, because they knew I came there for the purpose of teaching, and I told them, I said, I'm really not ready for this, and I really don't feel like I want to teach. But at the same time, I couldn't get a job as a teacher in the college. Like, because nursing professors, nursing lecturers, nursing clinicians, they're in demand, because these schools, colleges are saying they don't have enough nursing instructors. So that one thing, that job, that's why, you know, that job is in demand. But I'm putting in application after application after application after application, and no one. I could not get a job. I'm just like, I'm getting upset. I'm like, I prayed. I'm like, God, I know you helped me get through school, Lord. I know you didn't help me just to get through school, not to be able to work in the field. And it's just like one day I was in prayer, and I heard as loud as God was just sitting right in front of me, and he said, teach my people. And I was like, what? So I went back to my Bible study teachers, and I told her, and she said to me, she said, you know something? I was just, because it had been like years I was sitting in that class not teaching. And she said to me, the Holy Spirit told me to ask you if you would teach like next week. I'm like, you got to be kidding. And at the same time, God is telling me teach my people. And it's like as soon as I did, so I taught the class the following week, and I've been a co-teacher in this class since then, right? And that's the class that we have on Saturdays. And it's almost like nursing teaching jobs just came flowing at me.
You still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It got silent.
Well, I finished. I finished my story. There was no comment to it, so unless we can move on.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's interesting, though. That's interesting.
But, I mean, to me, this is what this remind me of, wanting something so bad but not willing to do what God wants you to do.
Right.
Want God to bless you anyway. But you're not willing to compromise and do what God's asking you to do. So when they, so we go on and it says, so the priest would not realize that their lack of blessing was not caused by his lack of concern, but their own compromise and disobedience to the covenant law. When they repent and return to God, with sincere hearts, the obstacle to the flow of divine blessings will be removed. Malachi also reminds the people that a day of reckoning will surely come when God will judge the righteous and the wicked.
Uh-huh.
So the key verses for Malachi is Malachi 2:17 and 3:1. Okay, so Hilda, get Malachi 2:17 and get and also get Malachi 3:1, and Sister Barbara, if you can get Malachi 4:5-6. So the key verses refer to the appeal to the backsliders. So when you got 17, Hilda, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? You have wearied him by saying that all who do evil are good in the Lord's sight, and he is pleased with them. You have wearied him by asking, where is the God of justice? Look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you look for so eagerly, is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's army. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And then 4, 5, and 6.
But also look ahead. I'm sending Elijah the prophet to clear the way for the big day of God. the decisive judgment day. He will convince parents to look after their children to look up to their parents. If they refuse, I'll come and put the land under a curse.
Mm-hmm.
So forth the word of Malachi. That's the last verse.
Yes, yes.
And so that's
so those
what
were
happened.
His appeal. Is he's appealing to those backsliders.
Mm-hmm. That's the day of judgment.
And then the key chapter is chapter 3. The key chapter is chapter 3. So the last book of the Old Testament concludes with a dramatic prophecy of the coming of the Lord and John the Baptist, where it says, I will send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me, which you just read. Israel flocked to the Jordan 400 years later when the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, which is Matthew 3:3, appeared, breaking the long silence of the prophetic revelation. Malachi 3 and 4 records the coming of the Messiah and his forerunner. So let's read through Malachi 3, chapter 3. Let's see. How many verses do you want to split it up?
It's 18.
It's 3 through 4. Malachi 3 through 4.
Yeah, so but the key verse is chapter 3.
Yeah, okay.
The key verse is chapter 3. So chapter 3 has 18. 18. That's enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to split it, or can one person read it?
Let's split it.
Okay. So let's start with...
Someone take 9, or are you going to break it up 3 ways?
We could do it 3 ways, yeah.
Okay.
So I'll start with verse 1.
Okay.
The coming day of judgment. Look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you looked for so eagerly, is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's army. But who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. Then, once more, the Lord will accept the offerings brought to him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem, as he did in the past. At that time, I will put you on trial. I am eager to witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, or who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice, for these do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's army. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and the offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Ten. Who's next? I just read to nine. Okay.
Okay, I'll do 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of Heaven's army, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put you to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vines before they are ripe, says the Lord of Heaven's army. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you have land, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of Heaven's army. You have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of Heaven's army that we are sorry for our sins? From now on, we will call the arrogant blessed, for those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. You want me to finish out three?
Yeah.
Because it's three and four.
Oh, okay. And yeah, go ahead and finish out three.
Okay, the faithful few, the Lord's promise of mercy. Then those who fear the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the horror of his honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of Heaven's army. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you again will see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Amen.
Thank you. And Sister Barbara, can you read chapter 4, please?
The sun of righteousness will dawn. Count on it. The day is coming, raging like a forest fire. All the arrogant people who do evil things will be burned up like stove wood, burned to a crisp. Nothing left but scorched earth and ash, a black day. But for you, sunrise. The sun of righteousness will dawn on those who honor my name. Healing radiating from its wings. You will be bursting with energy like colts, frisky and frolicking. And you'll tromp on the wicked. There'll be nothing but ashes under your feet on that day. God of the angel armies says so. Remember and keep the revelation I gave through my servant Moses, the revelation I commanded at Horeb for all Israel, all the rules and procedures for right living. But also look ahead. I'm sending Elijah, the prophet, to clear the way for the big day of God, the decisive judgment day. He will convince parents to look after their children and children to look up to their parents. If they refuse, I'll come and put the land under a curse. And so the Lord word has been blessed and is blessed.
Yes, praise God. Okay, so
and so that's what I had said previously, that that's what transpired, because they didn't, no one heard from God for 400 years. After they were so wicked and disobedient and, you know, just not following what he's telling them to do.
Right. So Christ in Malachi, the book of Malachi is preluded to 400 years of prophetic silence, as Sister Barbara just said, broken, finally, by the words of the next prophet, John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that's John 1 and 29. Malachi predicts the coming of the messenger who will clear the way before the Lord. We also see it in Isaiah 40 and 3, where Isaiah says, a voice is calling in the wilderness, clear the way of Yahweh, make a highway smooth in the desert for our God. John the Baptist later fulfills this prophecy, but in the next few verses, and that is verses, Hilda, if you can get 3, which we read, but particularly verses 2 through 5, I'll tell you when to read it. John the Baptist later fulfills this prophecy, but in the next few verses jumps ahead to Christ in his second advent. So read it now, please.
Okay, 3, 2 through 5. But who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. Then once more, the Lord will accept the offerings brought to him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem, as he did in the past. At that time, I will put you on trial. I am eager to witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, or who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven's army. Amen.
Right. So we see here that, you know, Malachi is talking about the second coming of Christ. This is also true of the prophecy of the appearance of Elijah the prophet, because in 4:5, Malachi says, look, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and awesome day of Yahweh. John the Baptist was this Elijah. John the Baptist was this Elijah. In Matthew 3:3, and Hilda, if you can get Matthew 11:10-14, and Sister Barbara, Matthew 17:9-13.
Okay.
And I'll tell you guys when to read it. So John the Baptist was this Elijah, but Elijah will also appear before the second coming of Christ also. So let's read these verses in the New Testament about John the Baptist as Elijah. First, I'm going to read 3:3, which says, for this is the one who was spoken about by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And go ahead, Hilda, you can do 11:10-14.
John is the man to whom the scripture refers when they say, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. For before John came, all the prophets and the laws of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you are willing to act to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one the prophet said would come.
Mm-hmm.
Up to 14, right?
No, that's it. And yeah, up to 14. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then Sister Barbara has 17, 9, and 13.
Okay.
Evangelist, did you finish?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Thank you. 17:9-13.
13. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Coming down the mountain, Jesus swore them to secrecy. Am I reading the right thing?
Chapter Matthew 17.
Uh-huh. 9 through 13,
yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Coming down the mountain, Jesus swore them to secrecy. Don't breathe a word of what you've seen. After the Son of Man is raised from the dead, you are free to talk. The disciples, meanwhile, were asking questions. Why did the religion scholars say that Elijah has to come first? Jesus answered, Elijah does come and get everything ready. I'm telling you, Elijah has already come, but they don't know him when they saw him. They didn't know him, when they saw him. They treated him like dirt, the same way they are about to treat the Son of Man. That's when the disciples realized that all along he had been talking about John the Baptizer. The word of the Lord is already blessed.
Wow, this is news to me, too. Wow. I never put those two together. I just never. This just went over my head.
John.
Oh, man. Okay, so I'm going to read. We have also, Hilda, if you can get Mark 9:10-11, and Sister Barbara, Luke 1:17. And Luke,
1:17?
No, yeah, chapter 1:17, and also chapter 3, verse 4.
Okay.
And I'm going to read Mark 1 and 3, which is the same thing. It says, and the voice of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. We read that. It's similar to Matthew 3 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And now Hilda, Mark 9:10-11.
10-13. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, it's Mark 9:10-11.
Well,
Mark.
My book said 10-13. But anyway, okay, 11. So they kept it to themselves, but they often asked each other what he meant by rising from the dead. Then they asked him, why do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes? That's to 11.
Okay. You said your book says to 13?
Yes.
Oh, so read to 13, because mine just say 10 to 11, but go ahead and read to 13 now.
Mm-hmm. 12 says, Jesus responded, Elijah is indeed coming first to get everything ready. Yet, why do the scriptures says that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be treated with utter contempt? But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they choose to abuse him, just as the scripture predicted. Amen.
Okay. And then Luke, Sister Barbara?
Luke 1 and 17 says, and it starts at 15, who drink neither wine nor beer, who be filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment he leaves his mother's womb. He will turn many sons and daughters of Israel back to their God. He will herald God's arrival in the style and strength of Elijah, soften the hearts of parents to children, and kindle devout understanding among hardened skeptics. He'll get the people ready for God. Amen.
And 3 and 4.
3 and 4. Which is... Okay, this goes from 1 to 6.
Well, 3 and 4, 3 verse 4 is the same thing. I'll read it. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his way straight. And these are all verses to prove Elijah. So homework assignment is to tell me, we're going to look up everything that we know there is about Elijah, okay? So John the Baptist was this Elijah, but Elijah will also appear before the second coming of Christ. So I am going to...
What?
And there, huh?
The homework assignment, you say what?
Who is Elijah?
Okay, that's it? Who is he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would be for...
Okay, so I'm going to end here. And we'll continue with the contributions to the Bible next week.
Amen.
Wow, this just blew my mind. I mean, I'm like, I guess I would feel the same way too. Like, well, who is this? They saying Elijah is coming. I know it's John the Baptist is doing it, but I never put the two together. So thank you, God, for that revelation. Wow.
Yes. Awesome.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Hilda, you
want to
pray us out?
Oh. Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for this awesome lesson this evening, for opening up our eyes and ears and hearts to your words about John the Baptist and Elijah. Thank you for that revelation, Lord God. Thank you for our teacher this evening who has conducted a wonderful, beautiful lesson. Thank you for each and everyone who showed up in the spirit and didn't find it robbery to hear the word of God this evening. God, you are so awesome.
Amen.
We love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. Thank you for watching over us last night while we slept and saw fit to wake up this morning, clothing our right minds, healing in our bodies, Lord God. We thank you for all your visions for our life. We ask that you continue to strengthen us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. And let your will, not our will, but your will, continue to be in our lives. Bless our homes, our families, our finances, and just bless each and every one, the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, Lord God. Bless our president and vice presidents and their families, and guide them in the way that you have them to go. Let it be all of you and none of us. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.
And thank you. Wonderful prayer.
Okay. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a blessed. See you guys on Sunday.
You too. God willing.
Yes, we are.
God willing.
Have a blessed. Love you all. Stay safe.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
No need for music, and I hope my computer will be working right tomorrow, because I don't know what was